But we find ourselves in Ephesians 6. Some of you have heard this story about the frog in the warm water. They got a frog and threw it in boiling water. The frog jumped out immediately. So what they did is they put the frog in water that they're accustomed to and put the heat up slowly. And the frog got so comfortable that it finally cooked itself, not realizing the rising temperature. We find ourselves in an age and a generation where we are in that water that is slowly rising in temperature. And the pressures of the world, the line of what's right and wrong being moved to the struggles that we're having financially in our country, whether it's politically, with the struggles we're having with our health as we age. How many baby boomers here? That's 1963 or older. 1963, born 1963 or before. So we have a lot of boomers here, and we are reaching that age where retirement is in the near future, officially, but financially, whether we can do it or not is a different story. But along with it come, Sarah and I went to the store the other day, and we were hobbling in because her leg was hurting, my leg was hurting. And I told her, I said, babe, we're that old couple we used to laugh at as they walk into the store. So, but we find ourselves in precarious times, and I want us to recognize that whether or not you jump into a pot of hot water and you jump out, be careful. Be careful about the water that just slowly starts to creep up. We were gone for our anniversary, and I had gotten into the hot tub there at the place, and it was nice. It was nice and warm. What I didn't realize was they have a timer, and it's set at 15 minutes, but I didn't realize the timer was broken, and I lost track of time. You're not supposed to stay in the hot tub more than 10 or 15 minutes. I was in there probably half an hour, you know, and had I realized it because people were coming and going, I think, oh, man, wait a minute, how long have I been here? We find ourselves in situations in life that we need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be aware of what we're doing because there is a spiritual battle going on. Now, we may not sense it here in this country. There's not that persecution that you find in Muslim countries towards Christians, or communist countries towards Christians, or atheistic countries towards Christians. But there is nonetheless a spiritual battle going on. And I just kind of want to map out a few things before we actually get to chapter 6. But stop and think about this. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created angels, created the heavens and the earth. But in eternity past, Satan rebelled against God and tried to take his throne. You read that in Luke 14, probably around verse 12, 10 or 12, around there. But God said no, and he cast him out of his position in heaven, of his place of authority. He's probably the greatest angel of all of them as far as authority was. He was cast out. In the garden, Satan tried to distort God's word when he asked Eve, did God really say, or did God say? And Eve messed things up, and Adam didn't step in and say, no, that's not what God said. So Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, never to return to it. In Cain's heart, Cain is one of Adam and Eve's sons. We know there's three named, but they had more than that. It was Cain, Abel, and Seth. But we know that in Cain's heart, Satan stirred jealousy that led to hate, that led to Cain murdering his brother Abel. Genesis 4. Cain was cast out into a life of wandering. In the people, Satan pressed ungodliness, creating distance between them and God. And you see this come to fruition in Genesis 6. All the inhabitants were cast out into utter darkness as the world faced God's judgment with the flood, saving only Noah and his family. Everybody had an opportunity to believe. Everybody had an opportunity to get into the ark, but only Noah and his family did. Satan has repeatedly tried to destroy God's chosen people, the Jewish people. He tried to stop the birth, ministry, and resurrection of Jesus. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy all that God is doing in and through the church. He seeks to take away any glory that belongs to God. He's very happy if we pursue the American dream as long as we leave God out of it. He will try to distract us by causing us to focus on what we don't have instead of what God has already given us, causing us to question God's goodness. He will try one last time to stop Jesus when he returns. He is cunning, very strategic in his efforts, but he is condemned to the lake of fire. He does not have power over believers. That is the spiritual battle we're involved in. Because we have a spiritual enemy, public enemy number one, Satan. And him and his demons, which is a third of the angels that were created, their goal is to distract us from having a life fully focused on God and his glory and the work that he is doing through the church. He causes us to be dissatisfied. He causes us to be distracted. He causes us to look to our own devices, to create, to develop, or to gain what's missing in our lives. There's a big push right now on distracted driving, mostly texting, right? But they are pressing that distracted driving through a variety of ways. A man was given a ticket because he's spending too much time looking at the girls on the sidewalk and not paying attention to the road. They got him for distracted driving. How many of you eat in the car while you're driving? Nobody's raising their hand. How many of you ladies put makeup on while you're driving? Never, huh? Okay. Well, I know somebody who was putting their makeup on and rear-ended the car in front of them. Distracted driving. Why? Because we need all of our senses to focus on the road ahead of us, right? As it is in the Christian life, as we are living the Christian life, we need to focus on all that God has provided for us so that we don't fall into the pit, the potholes, or the unnecessarily taking a wrong detour. That's the battle before us. Unfortunately, we rely on movies to explain to us the evil and the demons and that. And that they're these ugly creatures and they come in. Friends, all Satan wants to do is keep our eyes off of God. All Satan wants to do is keep us from giving glory to God. Paul tells us in Corinthians, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do all for the glory of God. That's the spiritual battle. So he may not come for you with a horned creature, or with an ugly mask, or with a chainsaw, or with a variety of other things that I've seen on commercials these movies portray. But if he can get us to slip, if he can get us to trip, if he can get us to be distracted, he is accomplishing his will. He does that differently in our country because of the things that we have in place than he does in other places. We saw last week, verses 10 to 13, we saw, what was it, five things? That we must rely completely on the Lord's strength, that we must appropriate or take God's provision for the battle, custom fit armor. We must recognize that our enemy is Satan and his demons. We must look beyond our struggles to see the spiritual source of our problems, because our battle, and if you read Tony Evans' book on spiritual warfare, Tony Evans says that the physical things we battle with have a spiritual source, because the battle is being fought against powers and principalities in the spiritual realm. But the spiritual battle that Satan and his demons are having its fruit here on this earth. And then the fifth thing we saw was that we must rejoice that God has set us up for victory. So today we want to look at the actual armor. We must put on and keep on the spiritual armor God has given us. There never comes a time in your life where you feel you've got it together, you don't need the armor. Just like a Marine or an infantryman, you always have to have your rifle with you. I was listening to a testimony about a man who was injured in the military. And he was in a coma, and he woke up. As soon as he woke up, the first thing he asked for was his rifle. Where's my rifle? Because that's his armor. That's part of his weaponry. Friends, we never take off the armor. So there's six pieces to the armor that we're going to look at this morning. And I know time is of essence. So I put all the verses that I want you to look at. We may not read them all, but what we'll do is we'll make sure that you have them so you can go home. Because, friends, this is the battle we're in. As we enter 2020, as we leave 2019 behind and go into 2020, we want to go geared up, ready, loaded, and ready to do what God has called us to do. We're praying for God's next assignment. But in the process of praying for God's next assignment for us as a church, we must be doing the things that God has already revealed to us. You know, praying, reading, sanctification, going forward and witnessing and sharing the gospel and encouraging each other and building each other up. These are the things that God has already called us to do. We need to do them. We need to grow the life of the body here. We need to get involved in serving God. We need to get involved in building and making disciples by becoming a disciple maker. Oh, Pastor, I can't do... I know you can't, but can God can through you. And when you say God can, you can't do that, you're not trusting in God, you're trusting in yourself. And so we trust God as we go to 2020. But don't think Satan's not going to push back. Satan will push back. So the first one is, I simply called it truth. He uses modern day of that time imagery of the armor of a Roman soldier to bring across a reality, a truth about the armor that God has for us. But the reality is, the spiritual reality here is he's talking about truth. He says in verse 14, stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. That is simply because they had a robe that they would pick up their garments so that they could run. They would put it inside their belt so the belt would hold the long garment so that they can run. Most men today, they don't have a clue what it is to try to run with a long dress on. Women, you know the struggles. You know, I have a robe that's kind of long. I have to pick it up when I go up the stairs because I keep stepping on it. And I've almost tripped going up the stairs a few times with the robe. That's my closest personal analogy because I've never worn a dress or a toga. The idea here is that we need to have our lives conformed to the truth. Now, what I want us to understand here in this passage, these are things that should we possess in and part of our life. It's not something we simply grab and put on. It's something that is bleeding through our whole system. It's running through. And so this idea of truth, well, this is what Jesus says in John 8. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, continue walking in my word, continue in obedience to, continue to listen to, continue to ask questions and to study and to dig, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. See, because our goal here is to take people from being converts to be disciples, to be disciple makers. That's not three types of Christians. That's one type of Christian. That's what we all need to be. Because that's what Jesus says in the Great Commission. I go therefore and make disciples. The command is not to go. The command is to make disciples. So in your going, as you go, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. But every one of us as a believer, as a child of God, is a convert. We've been converted from the old man, made a new man or new woman, so that we can be a disciple, a learner, someone who's growing, so that we can go out and make disciples. Some of us do it in a large group. Some of us do it one-on-one. But we must all get out of that comfortable zone of saying, well, there's other people doing that. I don't need to. No, God needs everybody on deck. There's no second string. There's no bench warmers. But then you truly are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, part of our battle is not necessarily with the external forces. Part of our spiritual battle is in our internal forces. Me. I've told you, I have more trouble with the guy in the mirror than the guy down the street. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will walk in obedience. Because again, that's part of what we've been talking about on Wednesday, Sunday nights. It's experiencing a relationship with God, a love relationship with God, as we walk in obedience. We can't get away from maturing if we are not obeying. We will never mature if we're not obeying. Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, says, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." Here's the source of truth. Absolute truth. Absolute. This is true. Jesus quoted the truth in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan came to tempt him. Satan says, "Do this, do this, do this." Jesus says, "No, no, no, it's written. It is written." That's the kind of life we have to be. We live our life based on biblical truth. The commands are commands. We talked about that. Our convictions are based on truth. Where are you at with girding your loins with truth? Where are you at with living the truth? Where are you at and growing in the truth? Where are you at in asking God to fill you with truth? See, those are the things that we are trying to do here at PICO. We haven't always been successful, but we're trying and we're working at that to provide a place that communicates the truth, that challenges you to read the truth, then also provides you with opportunities to live out the truth. That's really simply what Christianity is about. Are we honoring God with the truth He has revealed to us? The second word here is righteousness. The second part of that verse says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is what went over and covered your front part, your internal organs, your heart, your lungs, so that if a bullet, not a bullet, they didn't have bullets in those days. An arrow or a knife or something would help protect. It would help shield off or a punch or a slug or whatever. You see motorcycle guys, even mountain bikers, extreme mountain bikers, they have these chest plates and these back plates to help protect them from that. But this is in the area of holy living, the practical righteousness of a life lived in obedience to God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, that He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God puts His righteousness in us. Not my own righteousness. There's nothing I could create or develop, but God, through Christ, inputs His righteousness into us, that we are now operating out of righteousness. You know what your immune system is? You know the purpose of your immune system? Well, it's to help fight off disease and germs and bacteria and all that. They're getting to the place now where they can take your immune system out of you, an unhealthy immune system, take it out, throw it away, and take the healthy immune system from wherever they get it from and put it in your body. They're working with patients with extreme cases of MS and other autoimmune diseases. At this point, they're only using it on people with advanced cases. But they're taking this immune system out. God put His righteousness in us. He took whatever filthy, because it says even our righteous deeds are as what? As filthy rags. He takes that whatever we think is righteous, He takes that out. He puts His righteousness that now we are able to stand in Christ against unrighteousness. It's an awesome thought. But He says if we confess our sins, why would He put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible if He didn't know we were still going to continue to struggle? Because He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. if we confess our sins. Now, this is for believers. But we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to respond in obedience to the righteousness he's placed in us. Okay? It's not all. God has center focus, center work. But we respond to him in obedience. Because he says in James chapter 1, verse 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness, get rid of it, put it aside, and all that remains of wickedness. Sweep it out, mop it out. Some of you use fabuloso, some of you use pine saw, some of you just use bleach. Whatever it is to get rid of the smell, the germs, get rid of that stuff. We know that confession, we know that we are washed by the word. But he says, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Because it's God's righteousness. Now let's stop and think for a moment. I got that truth. God's put his righteousness in me. What is your testimony? What is your testimony of people who know you? Ya te conozco, Mosco, right? Oh, that's just, he plays church. What is your testimony in private when no one is watching? What is your testimony on social media? On Sundays, you're praising God, hallelujah. And as we're reminded of an old word, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. And then on social media, we present a different side, an ungodly side of ourselves. Righteousness. The third word is peace. Verse 15 says in Ephesians 6, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. This basically putting on the gospel shoes. You're basically preparing yourself. Because for a Roman soldier, no matter what the conditions were coming, your shoes were important. Give you footing, give you stability, give you strength to push. I mean, today they have a pair of shoes for every occasion, right? If you play tennis, you play tennis on asphalt, if you play tennis on concrete, if you play tennis on grass, if you play tennis on clay. They have hiking shoes, biking shoes, walking shoes. And they have high tops, low tops. They even have those ugly shoes that have toes that you put on. Se ve como un chango. I need the arch support. I just do. This idea of preparation of the gospel feast, we're no longer enemies with God. We are on sure footing with God in our relationship that we can enter into his presence with boldness. Because of the peace that has been made between us and God. Do you have the peace of God? No. The English language provides opportunity for us to have words that are pronounced the same, different meaning, and are spelled differently. Because a lot of times we really mean P-E-A-C-E. Because I think a lot of times we really mean P-I-E-C-E. Because we only want a piece of God. God, I'll give you Sunday mornings, but don't take my Fridays. I don't want to be a fanatic, God. Just give me enough of you so I can be blessed. Or we want a piece of ourselves, right? The reality is, have you made peace with God? That means, have you surrendered your life to him? Because when you are surrendered to him, he will take care of you. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful. That's what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will go. Story told of a little boy that was playing with a lot of turbulence. His little boy sitting in the back. And he was crying and fearful. And somebody asked him, hey, how could you? He said, my dad's flying the plane. in life, my father is at the helm. My father is in the pilot seat. We don't have to be full and timid. We have the peace of God that I can come to him whenever. And that God demonstrated his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that we were reconciled. But now as children of God, we are at peace and are able to be called to call him Father. A couple different kinds of shields. If you watch probably the best movie ever made without a religious theme, apart from Jesus' movies, Gladiator. Thou hast chariots of fire, I have Gladiator. They dip, the guys with the arrows, dip their arrows and they flame them and they shoot them. Well, if you saw the movie 300, which I don't recommend, it's probably not. But the king of Persia came against those from Spartacus? Whatever his name was. They shot all these arrows. And it was like, it covered the sun. There were so many arrows. And they were all behind their shields. That's the shield of faith. We are under God's protection. My faith in Christ says, even though I have a difficult time, my faith in God is that he is working out his perfect plan in me. Is more than able and willing to take care of us through his power so we can resist every time. Paul tells the Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide you a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. See, friends, when temptation comes your way, are you looking for the escape route, the escape hatch? Are you looking for the way out? They train you in police and military to always make sure when you walk into a room, you know where the exits are. You find a lot of people don't like to sit with their back to the door because they want to see what's coming in so they know when to get out. I shared with you, was it last week or the week before, about my friend's, when he was told, what would you do if a guy came at you with a knife? And he employed the Nike defense. He got up and ran out the door. They said, why did you do that? He says, if a guy's got a knife, I ain't sticking around. And I had an opportunity because I knew there was a door, and I got out of town. Now, if my wife and kids were there, it would have been different. But I was by myself. Because no matter how many fights you win, you still lose because you get hurt. Friends, do you know where the escape hatch is? Do you know where the exits are when temptation comes your way? Do you know how to click off? Do you know what button not to click to get there? I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life in which I live in the flesh. I live by faith. The Son of God. God, you're going to take care of me. You're going to watch over me. Grant me discernment. Grant me understanding. Keep me safe. Keep me on the right path. But no matter what happens to me, for your glory. Do you think the Aleuts were excited to go down to only have her husband killed by the Aka Indians? And then for her to return with the gospel and lead many in the village and some of the same people that killed her husband to Christ. That's a step of faith, friends. That's a faith that you and I don't practice very much. Because I think if anything, for us, the words of Jesus to his disciples, oh ye of little faith. But the faith that John puts it this way in 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Friends, trust God. There have been some amazing stories on the video on our Sunday night series. Just how God opened a door. You know, they were praying and all of a sudden God provided them a full-time salary for a church plant. They had no money. The church had no money. But God provided them for a year or two of a salary for a church planter. Or God did this. Or you read about, what's the guy in England with the orphanages? George Mueller. He sat all the kids down. No food, no money to buy food. He sat them down. Let's pray. They prayed. There's a knock at the door. My milk truck broke. I can't. There's no refrigeration. Can you use the milk? Or I have extra bread. Can you use the bread? Right when they needed it. Friends, does our God come through? Is he faithful? Let's trust him. So we pick up the shield of faith so we can knock down or block the fiery arrows of Satan. The New American Standard says, the first edition said missiles. But fiery arrows are a lot closer than missiles. Because you can shoot a missile from this side of the world to reach the other side of the world. Just push a button. Now this is a more personal battle. The next word we see is salvation, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Now the helmet is meant to protect your head. You see it in football players. You see it in supposedly bike riders are supposed to use them. Motorcycle riders here in this state. I know other states that don't have a helmet law. But you have it to try to protect your brain, your head. The helmet is to protect our minds from the lies of Satan and the put downs of others. They are aimed at drowning out. Again, the arrows are aimed at drowning out God's voice. The enemy will attack our security and our assurance of our salvation. And you ever thought, man, I'm not even saved. Or how many times have you had to pray the prayer again, Lord, save me, forgive me for my sins, because you just didn't feel it. Well, friends, this area of faith, this area of assurance of salvation is a reality. God has saved me. I'm saved. Because Proverbs tells us, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. That's why in Psalm 43, the psalmist is praying, is talking to himself when he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? He says, shake it off, hope in God. Sometimes we just need to tell ourselves the truth. We need to read the passage of Scripture. We need to stay with the Word of God because it is not about feelings. It's not about I feel saved or I feel happy or I feel good or I feel this or I feel that. No, it's because God's Word has said it. God is not who we think he is. God is who he said he is. And that's a big difference there. The last one is God's Word, or the Word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is an up-close, personal type of sword. It's not like the kind you see with Zorro, or they use in fencing. Now, this is about 6 to 18 inches long. It's always kept at hand. It's used defensively and offensively. Now, think about this for a moment. Jesus responded with specific truths to specific situations that Satan threw at him. He said, oh, if you do this, no, but it's written, this is what it says. Now, a lot of times we'll say, oh, well, the Bible says it. I think it says it somewhere. I'm not sure where, but I know. No, friends. No. The Word of God speaks. That's why Bible memorization is important for us. Again, I shared with you a verse that has kept me out of a lot of trouble, James 1:20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. See, in this battle, we tend to rely on our own devices. Well, I can get myself out of this mess. I'm smart enough. I'm charismatic enough. I'm rich enough. I'm capable enough. No. The wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. He's simply saying the natural carnal man cannot accomplish the will of God. It is because of the Word of God. He also tells us in Revelation, in Romans 12, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Friends, a lot of times we want to get in there and settle the score. We want to make things even. We want them to pay for it. But as I shared before, when somebody harms us, We want justice or revenge. But when we harm somebody, we want grace and mercy, don't we? Friends, step back, let God take care of it. Hard lesson, especially for young men, especially for the macho men. Wait a minute. They disrespected me. Wait a minute. I can't let that pass. Trust Isaiah 55:11. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, from God's mouth. It will not return to me empty. Some of you remember they used to use the word void. Without accomplishing, and this is God speaking, what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word is powerful because it's His word. He backs His word. And He guarantees that His word will accomplish everything He wants it to. And we must trust, even if it seems to be good or difficult for us to swallow. Kindergarten, growing elementary school, Mrs. Provines was my teacher. They used to give us a one-a-day vitamin. This was before fruity pebbles. What's those little fruity? Fred Flintstones. And these little chewy things that taste so good, filled with vitamins. You left the one-a-day in your mouth too long, it was like vomit land. It's just nasty. And I was not very good at swallowing. Now, I couldn't swallow the pill, but I could swallow a hot dog. You know, it just didn't make sense. Maybe it was just in my mind because this was supposed to be good for you, and I just had a hard time swallowing it. Friends, take God's word. If it's good or it seems too difficult, it is for His glory and our benefit. Our armor is not meant for display. Our armor is meant for use. Just like our Bibles aren't meant for display, our Bibles are meant for use. Does your Bible look too new or does it look worn? Do you still have pages sticking together? It's probably because you haven't opened those pages. The Word of God is truth. Batman had his utility belt, right? Always seemed like he had the right contraption to take down the Joker, Mr. Freeze, Catwoman, whoever it was. His utility belt always seemed to be in flux. It always had different stuff in the same pocket that had something else. Felix the cat had his bag of tricks, right? Amazing what he could get in that little bag. Some of you, I'm way above your age level. But he had that bag, always something there to get the professor or Rock Bottom or some of the other guys who would come and give him a hard time. MacGyver always had his ingenuity, right? Always can put something together. Take a piece of twine and he can make a bomb, you know, whatever it was. He always seemed to be able to escape or get out of the predicament he was in. Friends, you and I have God. We don't need a utility belt. We don't need a bag of tricks. We don't need ingenuity. We simply need God. And some of us are struggling in life right now because we've been distracted from God. We've been distracted from the reality of who He is and what He calls of us. Because even though the devil rages against us in the battle, his days are limited, his days are numbered, his eternity will be spent in the lake of fire. There is a reality out there that people need to hear the gospel. Friends, are you going to step up and fight through the battle and bring deliverance? You see a movie like Dunkirk where they provide miraculous escape for people. You watch the other one, the pacifist who was fighting in World War II, Hacksaw Ridge. You read where people showed courage and strength because people needed that. Friends, people need to hear the gospel today. People need to see the gospel in action. What are you going to do to step up and step in to bring that hope to people? What sacrifices will you make? A group of ladies down out of Atlanta, Georgia, went in and moved into this major apartment complex, and they rented an apartment, and they were using the community center for Bible studies and different things. It was a tough neighborhood. They were accosted and assaulted a few times. But their resolve was to continue the ministry because they needed the gospel. Friends, some of us won't even get up and go across the street. And I've been guilty of it. I know I've been guilty. I've been guilty of doing this too. But friends, no time than today, better than today, to take the gospel out and share it. Because we have everything we need to go through the battle. Father, today we thank you because you've given to us custom-fit armor to help us face a cunning, strategic enemy. But Father, we know that the war has been won, even though the battle rages, but that, Father, we are more than overcomers. We are more than victorious in Christ. Father, we fight from victory, not for victory, because you have accomplished all things. Father, thank you, Father, as we go forward. Help us to live out these truths, Father, not to put them on display, not to make much of them, not to spend more time shining and cleaning the armor than it is to get out there and actually use it. Father, we thank you for your faithful provision. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen.